Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. We are so honored to be here in worship with all of you this beautiful Sunday. If you're visiting with us, it's our pleasure that you are here today. We'd love to get to know you more. There's a way to scan the worship guide and give us some information about yourself just so we can say hello. But welcome. We're glad you're here today. Happy Mother's Day to you moms and aunts and grandmothers and motherly figures out there. Happy Mother's Day to my mom, who's probably watching in Austin. I'm so proud to be here. I want to say thank you to all of you who have been a mother figure to me and to my family over the past 23 years that we've been here at Second B. You have made a huge influence on me and my life. And so thank you to all of you for being here today. I'd also like to remind you that we have two more Wednesday night suppers this Wednesday and then the following Wednesday. Please don't forget to register online. It helps Miss Johnny and Chef Robert prepare the number of food that we need. And the following Wednesday, May the 18th, is Bring a Friend Supper. So you can bring a friend and the friend will eat for free. And you guys will all want to stay for our children's To Be Kids or Talented program that they've been working on all semester. You're not going to want to miss this night of entertainment. So please join us the next two Wednesdays for dinner and classes. I know you will enjoy them as well. Today is Communion Sunday, and we will be bringing communion to you in your aisles. You had an opportunity to grab the little hand sanitizer packets, and if you didn't, there's plenty on both sides of the worship center. If you'll sanitize your hands before, and the deacons will bring the communion through the aisles to you, and you will hold on to it, and we'll all come to the table together at the same time when Pastor Jake leads us. Now let's take a moment, let's take a deep breath and prepare ourselves for the worship service today. The Lord be with you. Stand with me as you are able for the call to worship this morning. Lift your hearts, raise your voices, and join the heavenly host who forever sing.
Please pray with me. Dear God, we come before you today thankful for the mothers in our lives and the mother figures in our lives who have guided us and loved us, sacrificed for us, and taught us. God, we're thankful that we get to see these beautiful traits in our mothers that reflect from you. We know it is your love that allows us to love one another. And we're thankful. It is in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
To invite all the boys and girls down to the front for children's time this morning. Please come join me up here on the steps. Yeah, y'all can have a seat right over here. Johnny, we're doing something kind of special today. Will you guys try and squeeze in just a little bit for me? Will you come over this way a little bit more, Johnny? Okay, come on over here. There you go. There we go. All right, you guys have a seat right up here. Right up here is good. This is a good spot. Eva, right? Yep, there's a spot right there between the girls. Yep, you can sit right there. Here, you want to sit right here, Lincoln? There's a spot right here. Yeah. Okay, I've got some friends that are helping me today. Mason and Will are going to sit down there, and we all hold that on your lap so they can. I'm going to stand behind y'all. Okay, so I wanted you. I hope you can see yourself in this mirror.
I can.
Okay, tilt it towards them, boys. Can you sort of. Yeah, okay, good. They're waving. Okay, good. I want you to see yourselves. Okay. So let's think. What are some things that you would notice as you're looking at the whole crowd? What are some things you notice, Kai? What do you see? You see yourselves, yes. What do you notice, Renly?
We're all different.
Oh, you guys, you are all different in your own. Not everybody has your beautiful red hair, right? We have some beautiful blonde and brunettes. What else do you notice? Are you all dressed exactly the same?
No.
No. No. Okay. Some of you have darker skin, some of you have really lighter skin, some of you have blonde, some of you are wearing glasses, right? Everybody has something different about themselves, but you know what I see is this beautiful blend. Johnny, what do you notice? Yeah, you've got some pretty skin too. You notice your skin in the mirror. Yes, everybody looks different. Yes. In our scripture reading that Mason's going to read in a little bit, this is my favorite part, and I wanted us to take notice of it. It says, as I looked, there was a great multitude, but none could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. So you know what it says, Barrett? That says that there are multiple different kinds of people that are sitting at the throne of Jesus. You know what is so very cool about that? Is that each and every single one of us, all of you, look so beautiful in this mirror in your own perfect way. And God loves us just the way we are. And all of us together make up this huge family of God. And every single distinct trait about ourselves is what makes us unique and makes us special in God's family. God doesn't want us all to be the same, right? Right? We all talk differently. We have different accents. We look different. We have different talents, different skills. And that is what's beautiful about this scripture reading. And that is what is so beautiful about each and every one of you. Yes, Lincoln.
What if all nations were the same?
If all nations were the same, wouldn't it be so boring? We wouldn't want to go anywhere, right? What would be the point of traveling? What would be the point of getting to know everybody? Everybody would be exactly the same. That's what makes it so interesting and so unique. Thanks for bringing that up. Yes, Renly. Yes, I'm glad you brought them up. They talk differently, but they're still just as special, and they make up part of your class, just like we all make up part of the children's ministry here at Second B. So I want to say thank you for each and every one of you and all of your different, unique, and special traits and skills and looks about you. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for making us all different and unique and for making all the nations different and unique, Lord. Thank you for giving us a special part about each one of us. Lord, help us to love one another as we love you. In your most holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Will. All right.
Today's psalm reading comes from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Oh.
Please join me in our litany for Mother's Day. God with a mother's heart, you gather us as your children. When we hurt, your arms enfold us. When we are afraid, your wings protect us.
When we are hungry, you feed us with the bread of the heart.
God, with a mother's heart, your love surrounds and supports us.
In the good times and in the tough, in the midst of joy and pain, always and everywhere, you will never leave nor abandon us.
God, eternal and loving one, God with a mother's heart, we thank you this day for being part of your family. Let's pray together. God, eternal and loving one, God with a mother's heart, thank you for the gift of mothers. Thank you, God, for being mother to all of us. God, we're so grateful that you instill in us this maternal instinct that teaches us to love and nurture and care for others. God, I thank you for the mothers present in my life and in the lives of us around us today. God, I especially pray today for those who are hurting. Lord, I pray for those who have lost their mother and would give anything to spend one more Mother's Day lunch with the woman who trained them and taught them. Lord, I pray for the mothers who are still waiting, those who are waiting for the sign that they will be a mother, and for those who it's just not going to come, Lord. I pray that you speak to their hearts and that you ease their pain. God, and I pray especially today for those who have lost their children, Lord. Only you know, Lord, their deepest and their darkest. I ask that you speak to them and just enfold your arms around them and help them feel your presence, Lord. I pray for those out there that are suffering and that are looking for their mother, Lord. Be with all of us. Help us this day to love one another only as you love us. In your most holy name I pray. Amen. Would you continue to worship?
Today's epistle reading comes from Revelation 7, 9 through 12. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hand. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and all around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. I want to welcome you. Thank you for being here. Your presence, your voice, your smile is a reflection of the Christ. And of course, we wish all of you, particularly all women, a happy Mother's Day. We're grateful for you, and we're grateful for our Mother God, who ushers in all life and joy. And we also remember with you this day the loss and the lack together. We join with you in hope and in prayer and giving thanks in all things. My mom got me this one, and I'm certainly grateful for this one. Happy Mother's Day from our family to you. In 2006, we were in Bible study. It was a Second Baptist Church. In a place I won't tell you where, but the Bible study leader explained to us that because a 10th member was then joining the European Union, symbolizing the 10th toe of the clay beast Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel, then surely we were living in the end times. Why, oh Jake, you might ask, would you go to such a Bible study? In these next season, we're picking up on the text from the lectionary that we didn't grab 3 years ago. And so in these next 3 weeks, this week and the next 2 weeks, we'll be in the book of Revelation. Please stay. I don't know if you remember at that Bible study, he had a chart. I have left all charts behind, don't you know? Revelation is this incredible sort of conclusion of our New Testament scriptures, and I invite you. I think it speaks today as Scripture does. It continues to speak. Interesting revelation, as we may call it. Others have called it the apocalypse. Others have rightfully called it the disclosure. This is an extremely common form. About 200 years prior to the historical life of Jesus, and about 200 years after the historical life of Jesus of Nazareth, there is this extremely common form of literature, and Revelation fits perfectly into this form. Faith, truth, the Christ, you see, always takes on common form. One of the most common forms in my life is you. You are a form that the Christ has taken on. What is the form in which faith and in which truth is arising in you and arising in our world? The gospel, a life, a joy, the salvation of God always takes on. It always takes on these common forms. In about the year 225, the church father Origen, really the first to offer a systematic theology. This is after Paul, of course, maybe the first to offer an extended look at what all of Christian faith and theology might mean. Origen said, when one reads the revelation of John in our scripture, one cannot but be amazed. That's what this scripture is for. It's not that we would understand it perfectly. No, it's that we would be in awe, that we would be in wonder. Scripture is alive, producing this incredible awe-ness. Even today, a few hundred years later after that, Church Father Jerome will say that that what we call Revelation has as many mysteries as there are words. There's about 12,000 words in this letter, this disclosure. In the 18th century, the English poet D.H. Lawrence may put it best when he said, when reading letter that we call Revelation, there seems to be mysteries behind the mysteries. So good. So true of life. So true of all things that tend to actually matter. There is mystery, there is beauty, there is meaning even behind the mystery, the beauty, the meaning. Specifically with Revelation, most of the time in this incredible disclosure, most of what we read is actually speaking to current events. Most of what we encounter, even though it may seem to be sort of a metaphorical, a spiritual, even cataclysmic, most of what happens in these very common forms is a presentation of current events. And so with regards to the apocalypse included in our New Testament, most of what is being described are events that have recently taken place, most notably, the destruction of the temple in AD 70 and the persecution of those of faith in that time. There's a reason why the compilation, the authors of this incredible disclosure need to use metaphor, because people's well-being in their lives hung in the balance as the empire of Rome bared down even harder on those organized by faith. The text is really speaking about current events. So I'd like to try the roosters were covered in red, and now the great battle of the northern cannon presents a formidable challenge. I'll say it again so you can keep up. The roosters were covered in red, and now the great battle of the northern cannon presents a formidable challenge. Of course, I am but speaking that Tottenham Hotspur lost again yesterday to Liverpool. And as you well know, our top four finish and hopes of Champions League next year hang in the balance because of the North London Derby to take place later this week. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. And I said it to you twice, and then I even explained it to you, and you still don't have a clue as to what I'm talking about. Know your audience, Jake. Let me try again. The round and the oval swine has got the matador city ripe with great expectation of glory. Amen. Thank you. Let's do that again and you'll amen at the proper time. the round and the oval swine has got the matador city ripe with great expectation of glory. Amen. Yeah. And so now, 2,000 years later, we're encountering this text with mystery upon mystery. As Mason read for us so well, verse 9 begins this way. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, all tribes, and all peoples. At least twice here, the text includes this very important and yet very small three-letter word, P-A-S, pos, as transliterated into English. It's also a three-letter word in English. A-L-L, all. Presenting, of course, to us one of the great theological, philosophical, exegetical questions. Brothers and sisters and friends, does all mean all? Does all mean all? Or does it just mean y'all? Colossians chapter 1, maybe the great hymn of faith, or along with Philippians 2 for the early church. In this letter of Paul, we read maybe the strongest presentation of what all might mean, beginning in verse 19. For God was pleased to have the fullness dwell within Christ, and through Christ to reconcile all things. Does all mean all? Karl Barth, maybe one of the great modern minds of Christian theology, put it this way. One should at least be stimulated by the passage Colossians 1, 19 and 20, which admittedly states God has determined through Christ as the divine image and as the firstborn of the whole creation to reconcile all things to God's self. This much is certain, he continues. This much is certain, that we have no theological right to set any sort of limits to the loving kindness of God, which has appeared in Christ. Our theological duty then is to see and understand as God's grace as greater than we have ever seen before. In Christ, it seems, all means all. And if this is true, if this is true that all means all, well, let me just conclude with a story. The story of an anthropologist who studied and visiting a tribe in South Africa. This anthropologist has set up just over yonder at the base of a tree a basket full of fruits and goodies. This researcher takes then a collection of children from this tribe and says to the children, listen, we're going to have a race, and you are to rush over to this tree, and the first one to reach this tree can have all the fruits and all the goodies at the base of this tree provided in the basket. And proclaiming the words that are ingrained upon all children at the very beginning, the anthropologist said, ready, steady, go. At which point, all of the children, some ways away from the tree, joined hand in hand together and marched and walked to the tree. Having reached the tree, there at the base of the tree, a basket full of fruit and goodies, they all enjoyed that which had been provided. Now, the anthropologist didn't remember it this way, but I just can't help but to wonder that after all the children had had their fill of fruit and goodies provided in this basket, somehow, maybe, were there 12 baskets full of fruit and goodies left over? You see, French Enlightenment when the French version of Elon Musk proclaimed as sort of the inauguration of this world view as his first principle, the assumption before all assumptions. René Descartes said this, "I think, therefore I am." Inaugurating a period of staunch individualism, an influence by which we are under today. You see, the anthropologists arrived there at the tree and took the children and gathered them up and asked the children, "Why is it that you participated in the game this way?" And surely the children described, If one of us were to miss out on the fruit, on the goodies provided, then it would seem that all of us would have missed out on the fruit and the goodies provided. The children said, "We have a word for this, Ubuntu." Ubuntu is a Zulu word that means "I am because we are." If all means all, I think we must go together. As I imagine the choirs of angels, as I imagine tribes and tongues and traditions of all gathered there in the presence of the Lamb, gathered there at the foot of the throne of all glory, I imagine that as all of eternity worships Christ, I imagine that they did not sing "Cogito ergo sum." No. I imagine that all creation at the foot of the Savior sang Ubuntu, Ubuntu, Ubuntu. We are because of the one who is the great I am. Let everything that has breath praise. Let all of y'all praise the Lord. Pray with me. Good and gracious God, we ask that you take these very human words and marry them with your grace, your wisdom, your hope. Plant your spirit deep within our hearts, and may your hope shine forth and bless the world you love. In the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand together as we continue to worship.
Pray together. God, thank you for this offering of sermon this morning. And help us as we learn this word all. God, each day guide us that we will provide offering to all, for all that has been given to us. And we ask this morning, God, that we lift up and we thank you for our mothers, alive and gone, but never gone from our hearts. And those that have taught us to be a mother type and to love all. God, bless those gifts that are being given this morning, and may they be used to glorify your Son. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Would you stand and let's pass the peace of Christ to one another.
Pray with me as we were taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you, if you haven't, you may wash your hands and your heart as we prepare to receive the Lord's table. In just a moment, our deacons in the image and in the example of Christ will serve our congregation. We invite you to take a cup and to take bread and to hold on to it that we might receive and worship and celebrate together. This is, in fact, the Lord's table. The invitation comes from God and to the world that God loves. This table is deep enough. It is wide enough. It is true enough. It is good enough for all. Join us as we celebrate. receive in joy and in gratitude the body of Christ, broken, risen, and shared with all y'all. Likewise, receive the cup of Christ, representing the blood that was shed, yes, and new life overflowing, eternal and present, the cup of Christ. As you have received this reminder in Christ, may the world receive it through you. I invite you to stand as we continue to worship. Mark, we'll do it in the key of C. How about that? Thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.